Good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. Good to join together on this first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, to come to this place and worship God in spirit and in truth. It's great to see all of you here. We do have some visitors, and we're thankful for your presence. And we invite you back each and every opportunity that you have to be with us. And we want to encourage you that if you're looking for a place to worship, that you will consider Ephesus to be that home to serve God in. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you have done for me and my family over the last few days and the passing of my grandfather. It's a very difficult time, but it goes by a little bit easier when you have brothers and sisters in Christ like you. And so we want to extend our thankfulness to you here as brethren at Ephesus for what you have done. I want to begin by reading several scriptures with you this morning, and then we will look at some thoughts from these passages. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, to set the scene for you, if you will think about this, is when God begins to deal out the punishment to Eve, to the serpent, and now He is going to begin to speak to Adam for the sin which they had committed of eating of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, which God had commanded them not to eat of. So beginning in verse 17, and to Adam He said, because you listened to your wife and you ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And in Genesis chapter 5, skipping over chapter 4 with the dealings of Cain and Abel, to chapter 5, the genealogy of Adam is found here. Genesis chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, this is the book of generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, He made them in His likeness of God. He created them male and female, and He blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. And when Adam lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. And then the days of Adam after he had became the father of Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. And then Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 990 years and became the father of Kenan. And then Enosh lived 815 years after he became the father of Kenan, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Because of the sin which was committed in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam that from dust he was created. If you will remember, when God created the world, He took the dust of the earth and He created man. And He tells Adam, He said, because you have sinned, you're going to go back to that which you were created from. You're going to die and you're going to become dust. And we know that through decomposition, that's in fact what the body will do. It will decompose and it will turn into dust. You see, death was introduced into the world because of the sin of Adam. And as you look through all of these verses here that we have looked at in Genesis chapter 5, we see a recurring pattern time and time again that all of these people, they all lived. He lived, he begot, or he became the father of. He lived a little bit more, and then he died. And that was the pattern which was set forth by Adam. If you look, it says Adam was created in the likeness of God. But everyone after Adam was made in the likeness of Adam. They all came after Adam, and the like way that he died, they would all also die. And we understand that reading of these passages and just general knowledge of the Bible and the Scripture and life around us, we see that death is universal. And death is ubiquitous in the fact that it's everywhere, it's always there, and we see it everywhere, but that does not lessen the pain of death. That does not remove the sting of death that it has in our lives and impacts us. And no matter how accustomed we get to seeing it all the time, it doesn't make it any easier to face. You know, some things you do time and time again, and it you get used to it. You get used to things that happen time and time again. I mean, I love pie in general. I like chocolate pie. I like ice cream. I like pie and ice cream together. I like them separate. I don't care how it is. But there becomes a point where you get used to it, you know, and you want something different. If you think about waking up in the morning, you know, some people, they wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 4:30 in the morning, and they wake up real early, and they wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's not real fun the first 30 days of that. But after about 30 days of it, you kind of get used to it. If you wake up at that time every morning, and you just carry that on. You get used to waking up at that time, and it's not as hard as it was when you first started it. And see, we get used to things as time goes on and as we do them time and time again, but one thing that we never get used to is death. And culturally across the world, people, they have a fear of death. People, they're scared of heights because they're scared they're going to fall. And when they fall from a great height, they die. And people are fearful of water because if they don't stay above the water and they begin to intake water instead of air, they die. And people are scared of fire because they know that if I get too close to that fire and it burns me, I'm going to die. And people, they have this fear of death and they have this idea, and no matter how much we are around it, it still stings and it still hurts and it's still no fun. And we understand that everyone is going to die. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 tells us, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 5, "For the living know they will die." And in knowing all of this, it doesn't maybe make the sting of death any easier. It doesn't make that void fill up any better. It doesn't make life go on any faster. It doesn't make facing death any easier. No matter how much we're exposed to it, time and time again, we're never really ready for our loved ones to die. Some will even go as far within themselves and say that they aren't ready to die. They don't want to die. And that was one of the blessings with my granddad, was he was ready to go. He was tired. He was wore out. I'm done. I'm ready. And when you kind of have someone that's like that, it makes it a little easier for those that are left behind. And I don't know that he kept saying that as much because he really was ready. I think he really was, but also to give us comfort, the ones he knew he was leaving behind, that I'm ready to go. One of the things which I look at in the reading of that Genesis chapter 5 was there was a slight alteration that was made. And that slight alteration was made by the one who walked with God. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, skipping down to that point, Enoch lived 65 years and he became the father of Methuselah, the man who would be the oldest one to be recorded as living in the Bible. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. You know, that's quite the change in our little pattern there, wasn't it? We had the rhythm and we had the pattern of he lived and he begot and he became the father of, or and then he lived and he died. Well, Enoch kind of flipped the script on that a little bit, and the fact that he lived, he begot, and he walked. And I think that message of us walking with God changes the outcome dramatically. Because when Enoch began to walk with God, he did not die. He lived, and he walked with God. Think about the only other one of whom you can find that walked with God, as it were, is Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If you think about the story of Noah, the entire world faced destruction except for Noah and his family. And if you look at what Noah did prior to the flood, it may give a little insight as to why Noah was spared, is because Noah walked with God. When we walk with God, are we excluded from death? No, not altogether. But we look at Enoch and we look at Noah, and they are both mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as these giants of faith, as these men of great faith. And these men of great faith are the ones who walk with God. And as one who walks with God, you become part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is mightier than death. It's stronger than death. It endures more than death. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus had asked his disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? And Peter responded, you know, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he responds, Jesus speaking, responds to Peter after saying that. In verse 18 he says, "And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And when we think about this verse for a great majority of my life, I thought about this, that the church was, you know, has this walls and these boundaries up, and death and Hades and Satan and all that, they can't penetrate the kingdom because it's safe. And there's truth in that, but that's not what he says. If we think about the word prevail as a military term or a defense term, and we say this, let's say this. We're in this church building, and we've come under attack. They try to get in, and we say, the doors of the church building prevailed against the attack. What does that mean? That means the people weren't able to come in. But if we say, the doors of the church building did not prevail against the attack, what does that mean? Well, that means they entered in, right? So when we read this and say, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, against the church. When we think about this, Hades is the place of the dead. The death cannot keep out the kingdom of God. It will not prevail against the church. The church is stronger than the kingdom. The church is stronger than death. And that muscle was flexed. That was shown to the world by Jesus coming and living and dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. That death could not keep him. And death will not prevail against God. Because God is stronger. God is mightier. God is the great and powerful I Am. The one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who has all power. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. Paul, writing at the church of Corinth, said this, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There is no sting with death, Paul says. Grave, where is your victory? You cannot hold those who are in Christ Jesus. Because within Christ Jesus is our victory. Within Christ Jesus, we're number one. We're winners. Levi was in the tractor pool, the pedal tractor pool, and he won his 4-year-old division last week up here at Piney Chapel. He didn't understand that he had won for a while. He said, "Why does all these people want to take my picture, Mama?" She said, "Did I win or something?" "Yeah, Levi, you won. That's why you got the trouble. That's why you got all that stuff." He said, "Oh, all right." He said, "I'm the winner and everybody else is losers." I said, "That's right, son. I guess that's right. That's spoken like a true kingdom, you know." But I think about that when I read, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're the winners and everybody else is losers. There's not a close second. There's not a third or fourth. if you're either on the winning side or you're not. And victory is only found in Jesus Christ. Victory is only found within the kingdom of God. And if you are not in that kingdom, the one who will break down the walls, will break down the gates of death, the one who enters in and takes out its own, then you will reach the greatest death of all and have no eternal life with God after this. We understand that if we walk with God, that by walking every day and stepping step by step with God, and Brother Roberts had some excellent lessons on walking with God, that when we walk with God, we're showing that we trust in Him, and we're step for step with Him, we're stride for stride with Him, that we're there together and in unison and in harmony with Him and Him alone. And then we are part of that kingdom that reigns over, not over this small little region here on earth, but all over the whole world. The kingdom of God, which overcomes all. And though we may fall to death in this body because we are made in the likeness of Adam, we know that we are transformed and we are created anew into the likeness of God through Jesus Christ. Through baptism, we are raised up in that newness of life that we can be like God. And we will conquer death in spirit if we are a child of God. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you stand to face death in a totally different light than those that are inside the kingdom. You stand to face death to only face death again and to be punished for all of eternity with Satan and his angels. And there is no reason to leave here in that situation. There's no reason to leave here in that way. We know that death is universal and that we are all going to die. Why would you leave here in any other situation than knowing that after this death, I know that I will conquer death because I'm a winner with Jesus Christ? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.